Hello and welcome to the Journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. Today's guest, Dmitry Shishkin, is probably best known for pioneering the username strategy at the BBC. But earlier this year, he stepped into a new role as CEO of Rynya Media International. Now, he's got two main goals in mind: solidifying the dominance of Rynya's top titles and expanding their reach in countries where they aren't quite the top dog yet. Dmitry is in charge of about 80 different news brands across Central Europe and Africa. That's a lot of ground for just one person to cover, so one of his first priorities has been getting all of these newsrooms aligned under a consistent strategy. To do that, he spent the last 6 months working on Rynya's digital media playbook. It's basically an internal guide that helps onboard new team members, while also giving editors a go-to resource for growing their news brands. The playbook is pretty thorough. It covers everything from editorial and content strategies to data, audience engagement, product innovation, team building, and even monetization. Stick around because we'll be diving deeper into how this evolving playbook will shape Rynya Media's strategy in the future and what challenges might pop up along the way. Don't go anywhere. Dmitry, welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jacob. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. Dmitry, fun fact about you to start things off. You actually have a really famous namesake. I'm not sure if you know. Dmitry Shishkin is also a 32-year-old classic pianist. Are you aware?
Let me put it this way. My search results have really been negatively impacted by his incredible success.
That's the thing. I Googled you, as I normally do before an interview, and this came up, and I was thinking, have you got a new skill that I wasn't aware of? But
and he also lives in Switzerland.
That's where I'm going with this. That's exactly where I'm going with this.
We have been following each other on Instagram for years and years, and we know each other. I'm Dmitry Shishkin on Instagram. He's Shishkin Dmitry on Instagram.
But you've never met each other?
No.
Seen him in concert?
No, but now I think that why not? It would be quite a meta thing to do.
Well, the stars have aligned, really, if you think about it. But it would be great if you two did, and maybe you two could interview each other. You could call it the Shishk interview.
Dmitry meets Dmitry.
Maybe a segment for another day. But as you touched on there, you observed correctly, you're both based in Switzerland, which is where you are now, CEO of Rynya Media International. You've been there close to a year at this point, correct?
I've started working for them for Rynya in January, but I only moved in the summer.
Righto. One of the big breakthroughs that you've had recently is you've published an internal Rynya Media playbook. Let's start there. What is this and why have you done this?
We wanted to make all of our titles aware of what digital publishing best practice is. You kind of understand what good looks like, but at the same time, you also want to understand, actually, if I were to have only one pager about problem X, where do I go? Who do I talk to? And also, how do I even scale it? Because on the one hand, it's okay to know you will know it, me, I will know it. But actually, if you hire a new person and suddenly you're giving them almost like a printout of things saying, this is what Rynya considers to be the best examples of digital publishing. And you don't need to reinvent the wheel necessarily. And we never wanted to pretend that we know everything and we are kind of almost like this is the truth stops with us. No, it's not about that. It's about almost like a great onboarding document for what the best practice and where you can find those best practice guides.
Mm. You told me before our call, this is something like unfinished business for you. This is something you wish you'd done when you were at the BBC. So tell me a little bit more about that, if you would.
Remember when I worked for the BBC, my job was to make sure that the digital practice is used and also that the digital strategy is executed in a nice way across, in the most effective way across all BBC non-English digital operations. So that means basically BBC World Service websites, more than 40 of them. And I had different people in my team who were responsible for different parts of what I now consider parts of those digital media playbook, probably apart from monetization, because that's the difference between Rynya, a commercial player, and BBC public service player. But video, social media, visual journalism, product, building the new teams, building new workflows, all of those things, they actually can be applied. And I wish I had done it. We never had this opportunity to do so, and we had it all in our brains and all in our heads. And I think actually putting it on paper and now using AI to make sure that actually this is probably presented also in a nice, engaging way. It is what it is, and I wish I had done it a few years ago, but now it also finally, when it was published, I really felt a little bit of an emptiness when, you know, when you finish a big project, you always feel a little bit deflated afterwards. But now I hope that I will be able to start socializing it across the countries and across titles and everything else, and we'll start using it. And hopefully this is going to be a living document so that we will be able to add things there, remove things there, and all of that.
Right. So just to give our audience a sense of what this document really is, this labor of love that you've been working on for how long? How long has this taken to create?
So Ringier Board of Directors approved the idea in April, and we're now publishing it here in September. So we have published it already. So it's on and off. It was about six months worth of work.
Yeah, real force of work there. But this is five chapters long, correct?
Correct, yeah. So we decided to do it right. Like, imagine if you are a new joiner in a company, say, for example, in Serbia or in Romania, or if you are redoing your digital operation in a particular country, you kind of need to start, well, what does Ringier think about this problem or that problem or that problem? How do I even approach it? We consulted a few knowledge owners in the company. So we kind of had this logic of, what do we think this playbook should consist of? A, point number one. So that's how five chapters were put together. So the five chapters are very obvious for people. And again, I'm not pretending this is going to be groundbreaking for majority of people. All I'm saying is that when you're running a portfolio of companies, and if you're running a lot of people or a lot of titles where the digital knowledge or upskilling of digital knowledge is not even or is uneven, it's very important to actually give them the almost like a baseline from which to start growing. So this is, the first one is editorial and content. The second one is data and audiences. The third one is product and innovation. The fourth one is building effective teams. And the fifth one is monetization. So each of those things in itself, they are divided into many, many, many sub-chapters, because obviously you can't really be tackling a big, diverse project of or topic of editorial and data, for example, by not being specific about different subsets of it. We also introduced something that which I would have found incredibly useful for me, say, 10 years ago when I was just, you know, maybe 20 years ago when I was starting my job in digital publishing. It would be great to have almost like a collection of checklists where you're comparing your own workflow, your own setup or your own structures against what is considered to be the best practice guide by the company. So that means that effectively you can actually print something out for yourself and say, okay, say, for example, let's talk about my favorite subject, introduction of user needs in the newsroom. There is a chapter on that, and there is a chapter on saying, well, do I start my meetings with conversations? Have I created dashboards? Have I tagged properly? Like all of those things. It basically almost like a checklist that is important to for your own understanding whether I'm doing things in a correct way.
Right.
And those checklists, as I said, they now relate to many, many, many subsets of that playbook.
Yeah. So is it just an onboarding document, or is it a reference point for all of your title editors on a day-to-day basis?
It's both. And again, you speak to some editors, and for some editors, I'm not trying to pretend that it's going to be an eye opener for many people. No, but what I'm saying is that when you are trying to manage a portfolio, it's really important to actually have some kind of a baseline,
yeah,
of what good looks like overall. But at the same time, if I were to be a new hire in, say, Romania or Hungary or anywhere else, and I would be a head of video, for example, and I'm just starting a video operation, I don't need to suddenly be overwhelmed with everything, because there is a chapter on how to run a digital video operation. So you can actually just go and use it as a reference point.
Yeah. But you said before, you know, this is important when you've got a large portfolio of news brands where there might be some, you know, unevenness across the board. You are looking after 80 news brands across Central Europe and Africa as well. Is that just something you knew from the outset that you would need to tackle, that unevenness, or is that something you noticed, you know, in the early days?
I'll give you a little bit of an insight from my old times at the BBC. You had 40 teams, and obviously those 40 teams will be very, very different in terms of their digital knowledge. And I ended up actually spending a lot of time with people who are still on their way to getting to the best kind of version of themselves on digital. But, and I really didn't spend a lot of time with those who were successful. Why? Because kind of I didn't really have enough energy to influence people who already were, you know, giving, bringing results, and kind of, although they, you probably needed to do some remedial work there, but at the same time, you kind of need to pick your battles, right? And you kind of, and here was also the same, is also the same thing. I'm not saying that nobody knew what we have put together. Of course, we have put together something that was a collective knowledge of everybody else in the company. But at the same time, if you know, you suddenly stop growing or you don't have enough good people to run a particular operation or particular side of operation, here it is. This is just a helpful guide for you. So it reminds me of when I was setting up a collection of visual journalism teams across the world for the BBC. We restricted them to a collection of formats that they could use, but they could reuse it across the globe. So something that was coded in Jakarta could then be reused by people in Miami or something like that. But at the same time, we actually limited them to a large collection of formats that they can use. So it wasn't almost like free for all, but it was not either two or three formats. So it was maybe 10 or 15 or 20. Same thing with the playbook. I'm not saying that, you know, it's either my way or highway. And also remember, this is for everyone. So this is not only for Ringier Media International. This is also for Ringier Media Switzerland. This is for Ringier overall. I'm trying to think about myself 10, 15 years ago, and I would have found it incredibly helpful if an organization which I work for would have had such a document at that time.
Yeah, what I like about that is that it feels like there are boundaries in place, but there's also a lot of room for creativity within those boundaries. Is that the basic point?
That's very fair.
So to recap, the Digital Media Playbook covers editorial and content, data and audience, product and innovation, building effective teams and monetization. The document will be updated as different tools and platforms emerge or change. Take the chapter on audience and data, for example, which offers recommended advice on content distribution, strategies and automated processes, and also making sense of the data. There's checklists within these three sections that Dimitri will expect title editors to reference in future assessments about their growth.
The only thing which is kind of constant in digital publishing is change, right? So it doesn't really matter whether you are introducing AI tools or you are actually opening social media accounts 15 years ago or 10 years ago or something like that. So it doesn't really matter. Change is change. And this is a really good way for young editors. And we all know the problem with media right now, that it's very, very hard to turn a really good journalist into becoming a very good manager, yeah, for example. And hopefully the whole chapter dedicating to building effective teams and workflows help them that as well. So, but going back to the editorial team, so apart from, you know, there is a chapter on building successful social media strategy, there is a chapter on video, there is a chapter on visual journalism, there is a chapter on podcasts and audio. So these are not exhaustive collections. These are just things that if you were to start doing it, these are the things that we consider best practice.
Is there room for new ideas, new creativity going off the rails slightly and veering from that path?
Well, you know what? I always will say, let's make sure that we get the basics right, and let's make sure that we, because at some point of time, as a CEO of those companies, I will go to those companies and I will say, well, explain to me or present to me your structure and your ideas and your workflows, and please cross-reference the chapters in the playbook and where you have started using it or haven't started using it and why,
right,
all of those types of things. Because it's the last thing I wanted is to have kind of a document which you send out and then nobody ever reads, right? So this is about, and I send you one chapter to click through and you can actually just kind of see how useful those checklists are, because they are, it's almost like when you prompting your LLM, the most effective way of using LLM right now is almost to use it as a copilot. So this playbook is almost like a copilot for running editorial teams on digital.
I sense from your answer, there's a sense of accountability in here as well, that this is the vision, this is Dimitri's vision, you know, broadly for the company and your titles. How well are you kind of sticking to this? How well are you faring?
Yeah, you put it very well. And I think that this is actually quite an important thing for digital media. I think that we can forget that whilst the new shiny things are important, because you want to be seen as trying new things and you want to be seen as innovative. The point is, if you don't understand why you exist and your content strategy is actually not thought through, and you are creating content that nobody needs. And actually, this famous million-dollar question of what will happen in the life of your audience if your organization disappears tomorrow, and if you are not able to answer that question, and not only not answer that question, but if you're not adding those thoughts and kind of sticking to those thoughts in every single editorial meeting, in every single commissioning meeting, then it doesn't really matter how innovative you are. And that's why I'm kind of a little bit frustrated by how, don't get me wrong, AI is very, very important, but AI is not a strategy. AI is just a tool. And because of that, if you don't really understand why you exist in the market, and if you don't understand how to do journalism, digital journalism properly, then there is no hope for you.
And they've then got the specific ways in which AI should be used in their strategy and not getting distracted by the things that maybe don't serve the mission of the company.
Well, exactly. And if you go to, say, for example, chapter two, where you talk about data and audiences and everything else, we're making a very big point about the quality of data and the cleanliness of data and the fact that it's really important. So for me, this is very, very important. This is something that I actually learned at Culture Trip when I was there after the BBC. The importance of producing your content after it was published, in terms of like, so it adheres to absolutely every requirement there is to adhere to, from SEO now to AIO to all of those things, in terms of tags, in terms of making sure that everything is right, is very important. And sometimes actually, if different newsrooms need to take a different decisions how they want to do it, because sometimes it could be your responsibility as a journalist to do it right. In some other newsrooms, like at Culture Trip, for example, we had a production department that was actually looking at and making sure that every single article is as great as it can be on the almost under the hood.
Do specific parts of the newsroom only need to concentrate on particular parts of the handbook, if that makes sense?
You know what? Yeah. Yes and no. So if you work in editorial, of course, you will want to read about product and you want to read about building effective teams. I actually would want them to read monetization chapter, because I actually like, well, what's the point of running an organization if your editorial teams don't recognize the need to earn money? And this is something that is really honest, sometimes uncomfortable conversation about certain things. But it's also about when you work together, you know that famous triangle I keep talking about data on the one hand and then product on the other hand and editorial, and with kind of your strategy in the middle of all of those things. And that strategy can be user needs centric, it can be, you know, subscription based, it can be ad based, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But as long as those three people are representing those three activities, they talk to each other all the time and they create every single project together, this playbook almost kind of cements that connection between those things. Because according to us right now, according to Ringier, those five components are the most important components to actually run a successful operation.
Yeah. And you touched on this before, but, you know, you also want people to be reading this. How do you generate the buy-in to read this document, absorb it, and utilize it on a day-to-day basis?
It's a very good question. So we tried to make it as exciting to use as possible, in terms of that it's just not a Google Doc necessarily, but
it's interactive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty interactive. It has been created by a very, very creative person who applied a lot of AI kind of bits and pieces here and there in terms of to make sure that it looks good. And the front page very famously now has a person holding a newspaper in front of a person's face, and we struggled with making sure that there is a correct number of fingers holding those that paper. As you know, AI struggles sometimes with fingers. But jokes aside, the most important, I'm not taking this lightly. I know that it's going to be hard to make sure that everybody uses it, and but because we are, as a CEO of that part of Ringier, I will be constantly on the back of my direct reports, CEOs of individual countries, to make sure that it will be their job to show to me how their workflows and their structures and everything else correlate to the playbook. Because ultimately, it's also about actually a very good individual situation where individual person should want to become those people who we interview for future playbooks as well. So you should become a knowledge owner of a particular thing and actually start working on a pan portfolio basis as well.
Yeah. I mean, growth doesn't happen by accident, does it? And I'm just thinking, like, if you don't have a document like this, we all kind of know what happens. We fall into ad hoc workflows and we kind of just do things day to day as it happens. I mean, isn't a document like this just plainly good for culture and consistency?
You're completely right. And I think it's also about, it will help you to create your editorial conversations better, but it also will help you, say, set targets and goals and annual appraisals and all of those types of things. And it's not only about you make sure that you read it, you know, tick the box type of exercise. But one of the big tasks for you is to open an audience engagement team, for example. And this is show me how you have done it and show me what you have used from the playbook to make sure that those things have been missing, but now they're not.
And how does this kind of help you move towards your biggest goal right now, which is cementing the dominance of the number one titles in certain regions that you're in, but also trying to, you know, grow the brands that aren't in that number one spot as well? How does this playbook help to serve that ultimate goal?
Well, focus is the most important thing here. You can't do everything, but you equally, you are trying to do everything, because this is just the nature of everything is important, because, you know, AI is important and tagging is important and the editorial strategy is important and commercials, everything is important. But here we're actually making it less scary, because suddenly you actually say, well, I actually have somebody to look after this particular chapter and have after this particular chapter. But at the same time, you also will say, I would like to see a visual journalism department launched in every of my titles. And there is already almost like a roadmap for it, how to do it. So I think that it focuses your brain on actually saying, I will make sure that I will do 5 things this year, but they will be done from A to Z in a very, very concentrated, concrete, effective way. Because otherwise, you're completely right. Growth never happens by chance. You just need to be extremely, extremely organized about this. And this is where I think that, you know, I am quite happy that have been born with just being interested in minutiae. Sometimes you have like visionary people, and I'm not saying that I don't have a vision or anything like that, but I'm actually very excited about making sure that every single small thing is in place.
Does a document like this only work for a large organization like Rinya, or is it possible to scale this down for a much smaller news operation?
So we are in the process of figuring out whether Ringier will agree to make it public, to make it available to everyone across the world. So this is kind of work in progress, and maybe we will continue having it only for us for the next 6 months or 3 months or something like that. But the idea here is that, remember, like with me and the user needs model 8 years ago, when I was shown it, I actually started talking about it as publicly as I could. And I think that Ringier Media Playbook is exactly like that. We are a very confident organization. We are a confident organization in our skills. It's one thing to read about it. It's a completely different thing to actually make it implemented.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think that it's our duty to lift the whole level of journalism around the world. And hopefully this could be a really nice, small contribution to it.
Yeah, well, no doubt your work on user needs has influenced so many other people. And maybe if this goes more public, then that'll catch on too. But Dimitri, this has been a total pleasure to speak to you about this. Thanks ever so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jacob.
So my takeaway for today is something Dimitri says in the playbook about data. Democratize it and make it widely available, but be very specific about what success means. There's a similar truth to having an internal playbook. Make it very accessible, but be crystal clear about what success they are working towards, right down to the tools, the platforms, the workflows, the metrics, and so on. That doesn't mean there's no room for creativity, that just means get the basics nailed down first and make sure every part of your newsroom is rowing in rhythm. But what did you learn today? Let's continue the conversation. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter/X at JPGJournalism, or email me on jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can check out all of our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Jacob Granger. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.